Okay, let me bring you up to date and bring everybody up to the greatest heights again, and then Amir Tashem try to come down for a soft landing, because Ephraim Bluth here is my Yetzer HaTov telling me not to get carried away in the Shemayim. And I think that if I'm doing that, I'm not being it clear enough. So thank you for the direction. But let me just start off high and end off sort of low. What we've learned until now, just to do a quick chazar because we're all over the place, but what we've learned until now was that, as we know, there are four worlds: Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya, from top to bottom. And then the Nefesh HaChaim was mechadish to us that where is Torah? Torah, Limud HaTorah. Where is Torah in all this? Torah came obviously from a high place and came to a low place. Obviously, it came from the Shemayim, and it's coming down to us through Moshe Rabbeinu. So, where did it come from and where did it go? And the Nefesh HaChaim was mechadish to us. I say he's mechadish because it's not brought, as I pointed out, in the regular Kisvei HaAriza. Well, it comes from the Gurei HaAriza, which were the Talmidim that didn't make it in, like the Rama Mipano, and other Gedolei Hador, Yairi. And they said that there's a place also in these worlds that we need to mark off, which is called the Malbush HaNe'elam, just refreshing everybody's memory. And I spoke a lot about the fact that we're never going to see Hashem off limits. We're never going to see near that. Just forget about it. But we are able to see the Malbush, kevyochol, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Malbush obviously doesn't mean the king's clothing, but what the Malbush means is a certain surah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a certain presentation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as to how he appears to us. It might appear differently to in higher worlds, but in our world of Asiya, the world that we live in, touch and feel world, we can see a certain malbush. And by the way, the Kabbalah is full of levushim and levushim and levushim. When you want to know if you're really learning Kabbalah or if you're just learning like fun stuff, so once you see partsufim and levushim, you know you're in a place where you might not belong. So partsufim and levushim. But what we're talking about is basic. If anything Nefesh HaChaim put in here is basic, and for all of us to know, Limud HaTorah. And that is that we can see the Malbush Ne'elam. We spoke about Revelia Weintraub. Maybe we should get back to that, but you have those sheets, which gave us a shiur in Malbush HaNe'elam. What does it mean and where does it sit? But to put it all in simple terms, so to speak, mathematical terms or architectural terms, we're talking about in the highest world, which is Atzilus, banging your head against the top, at the glass ceiling is the Malbush HaNe'elam. And he Torah. So when we say the Torah came from a high place and came to a low place, like Mayim, Ein Mayim El Torah, water always goes from a high place to a low place. So what we're talking about is our access, if you're not learning Torah, like you're just doing meditations or trying to use your imagination, so you're not going to get way too far correctly. You can get wherever you want to go, but you're not going to get there correctly. If you take drugs, let's say LSD or some of the stuff that was popular when I was a kid, maybe you get a little bit or you feel like you're getting a little bit higher, but you're not getting there. The way to get there is with Torah. Torah means Limud HaTorah, and Limud HaTorah Be'iyun somehow is a glimpse of the Or Elyon and the Malbush HaNe'elam. That's what Torah is. Now, we went on to the
Did anybody yet to say what did the Nefesh HaChaim ever say what he meant by Limud HaTorah? Which chalakim, like what counts as Limud HaTorah?
It's clear to me that the Limud HaTorah, everybody was created with a different Sein Chalkeinu B'Seir Secha. Finding our chalak in the Torah is not a small task. It's not what you find the most fun or the most interesting or you're the most talented, and that might be part of it, but that's not the whole thing. This is for sure. So what we're exactly talking about excuse me, I've got to move this camera a little bit. What we're exactly talking about is not at all clear. But yes, the answer is that everybody has a different chelek in Torah, and that's something we have learned about and we need to learn about more. But I just want to move out from that and talk about Torah klali for the moment. I spoke about, and this wasn't so much of a tangent, because of Lag BaOmer, I spoke about what the Rabbi Yisachar from Dinov said, and that was that if you count the words of the Torah, you've got 33 words till the word or. And then if you go further to the word boker, you have another 17, which is gematria tov. So you have lev tov. And we spoke about Elazar ben Aruch Barichus, about how he went from learning the Maaser Merkava with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to Shokachas Kol Talmudai, and how he was brought back, and I maintain, because of his Lev Tov. One lemaisa from that story is that Lev Tov doesn't mean I'm a good-hearted guy and I'm always ready to change a tire for you. That's all part of it. But what Lev Tov is talking about is total integration to the Torah that I'm learning, so it's not just what I do, but it is what I am. And what you do and what you know can be deleted. You can lose it, you can forget it, you can change. People change as they get older. What you are will never change. In the words of the Gemara, Luchais v'shivrei luchais menachim ba'aron achas. That even if you're broken, the Shivrei Luchais stayed in the Aron Kodesh because they have the Atzmi Yishol Kedusha in it. And when we talk about the Lev Tov, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch reached a level where even though he was Shokach Kol Talmudai, he was still in there somewhere because of his Lev Tov. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, just want a little bit of history here and to get to the Bnei Yisachar. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch was a Talmud, as you know, of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Chamisha talmidim hayu loy Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, mayana miskaber. Because he was always there, he had it deep inside of him. That was during the time of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. The Chorban took place, 70 AD. The Chorban took place. It should be rebuilt speedily in our days. And then came, after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, came the door of Rabbi Akiva v'Chaverov, which got us to the plague of the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva was rebuilding Yiddishkeit after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Very, very important to understand his perspective of Rabbi Akiva in history. And then Rabbi Akiva had, though, to suffer. Some even blamed it on Rabbi Akiva, the Hadrian Decrees. So the Hadrian Decrees is not the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. It's not Hordus, as people think it is. Hadrian is a different thing. Adrianus Caesar. And Hadrian was post-Chorban, and in that post-Chorban era, they thought that by destroying the Beis HaMikdash, the Romans thought they would get rid of Yiddishkeit, which was in their interest. Just as a historical footnote, if you don't mind, the Romans were paranoid like crazy about rebellion. They didn't like rebellion, and any time there was a rebellion anywhere in the world, not just with Jews, they did everything they could to squash it, and that was the Gashmius reason for the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. It was to try to squash. The famous words in Josephus is that the Caesar said, there is rebellion in Judea. And that was what's being squashed. I just want everyone to understand that history. It's important to me to understand the Gemaras, the surrounding Gemaras. They thought they squashed the rebellion, and they got rid of the Jewish people by doing the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. That didn't work, so they kind of forced an exile of Golus, and that didn't work. The thing that was left was Yavne v'Chachomeha, and then eventually Rabbi Akiva v'Doirai. And they just couldn't put us down. You know, they just couldn't put us down, and here we are today, which is why Rabbi Akiva is considered the father of Torah Shebaal Peh, because Kulei Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, now I just want to go through this with you for a minute until we get back to the Bnei Yisachar, and this is all tied into one thing. And I want to learn with you what was going on. This is a Gemara you're familiar with, and I myself have taught it and learned it many times. I'm going to try to share my screen, if I may. Tell me if I'm doing this right. Hey, did that work? Good. The Gemara says here, famous Gemara, this is Chagiga Yudalad. The Gemara says here, I'm sorry, let me just get this right, on 5-6 lines from the bottom, famous Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, 8 lines from the bottom, Tana Rabbanan, it's a Bryce, it's a Tosefta. And here the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Arba'a Nichnasu Bipardes, Ve'eluhen, Ben Azai Ben Zoyma Acher, the Rabbi Akiva. The purpose, Nichnasu Lepardes. The purpose was they didn't, as Tosfos, you'll look on the side here, Nichnasu Lepardes, you see that here? Nichnasu Lepardes, what do they do exactly? Kigoin Ayadei Shem. Not that they traveled anywhere on a magic carpet to the Shemayim, but they were learning Kabbalah. Allah yanir lahem, it was felt to them, kemosha alu, v'chein pirsh ba'aruch. So let's go with Tosfos's pshat that nobody went anywhere, but the four gedolei hador, Rabbi Akiva, Ben Azai, who was for a while his son-in-law, Ben Zoma, and Elisha ben Avuya, four gedolei hador, sat in Kabbalistic learning with some sort of a seance going on here, and trying to, there were Nichnasu Lepardes, say the Rishonim, they were trying to understand, can we understand as four leaders of the generation, the Tsaros, the killings, the Golos, the Harbin Beis Hamikdash, everything that we're going through in Eretz Yisrael, and at that point in world Jewry at that time. They wanted to understand this. As Gedolei Hador, they wanted to understand this. And therefore, Arba Nichnasu Lepardes. Rabbi Akiva, by the way, had many meetings like this. For instance, on Pesach night, they came to him and they learned with him. Other Tanoim came to him and learned with him in Bnei Brak. And they learned until Higiyas Mankriyash Meshal Shachris, which of course would be the Geula. These were all discovery seminars as to how to understand what's happening. Part that's the important, very important background of this Gemara. Pardes is a word for a synonym for Gan Eden. Pardes. So they went into Gan Eden, but the Arizal speaks out that the way they got there through their learning was they went through Pardes. Pshat, Remez, Drush, Soid. And backwards, and from up to down, Atsilus, Bria, Yitzira, and Asiya. Pshat, Remez, Drush, Soid, four worlds. Yes? So four worlds of Pardes are the four worlds of the world. Arba Nichnasu B'Pardes, so these were obviously the most qualified learners in the generation and tzaddikim in the generation, including Elisha ben Avuya and the Gedolim and Nichnasu Lepardes, Gevaldik. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, let's just understand that background. The Brisa says, Arba Nichnasu Lepardes, Ve'eluhain, Ben Azai, Ben Zoyma, Acher, V'Rabbi Akiva. Amar Lam Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was our guide in this story. He was the guide. He was the leader of the group. And he said to them, before they went on this spiritual expedition, he said to them, Kishatem magim. We're going to go higher and higher and higher and higher. Kishatem magim etzel avnei shayish tohar. You're going to come to a place in Shemayim called Avne Shayish Tahar, the marble, the pure marble stone. I don't know where that place is, but it's there. You're going to come to this place. We're going to get there in our learning. And he said to them, Al Taimru, I caution you, his Talmidim, Al Taimru Mayim Mayim. Don't say, it's just water. Because, you know, if you look from a little bit of a distance and you'll see shiny marble in the Shemayim, if that's where you're thinking, you could think it's water. And if you think it's water, like let's say you had a swimming pool that was Avnei Shayish instead of, and it looks just like water, but there's no water. So you dive in, yeah? That should have caused you pain just hearing that metaphor. You dive into, so this is what he said, Al Taimru, I'm begging you, Al Taimru, Mayim Mayim, Shum Shenemar, because it says, Doiver Shkorim Lo Yikoin Leneged Einai. Stop falsifying the pictures that you see. Okay. You know, I just want to interject something here just to understand this. Al Taimru Avnei Shayish Tahar. You know, there's truth to this, that people that are really big lamdonim and Balei Halacha, Ksais and Nesivos, Reb Chaim Brisker, have one kind of a mind. The people that are able to imagine things and have a more sort of a artistic type of a mind, that's a different type of a thing, and they often and usually don't go together. It has been said that to learn Gemara Be'iyun, you have to have this sort of cognition, this kind of a mathematical mind. Not sure what it's called in the books of education, but it's a sort of a metziuti mind. Let's call it right-brained. In order to succeed in Kabbalah, there's no lumdus in Kabbalah. It is what it is. So it's much more of a visual thing. Yeah? I mean, nobody's understanding that there's four worlds, Atzilus, Bria, Yetzirah. So you're picturing it. So it's a visual. And I believe that Rabbi Akiva warned his Talmidim against the visual interpretation of what they see. Because what can happen is that visually you can be imagining that there's water, and it's not water at all. It's Avnei Shayish Tahar. It's Shayish. So, be careful with your imaginations being koveya what's true and what's not true. Mishum shenemar doiver shkorim lo yikoin leneged einei. So be careful with that. That was his warning to the people. There's deep Kabbalah into what are Avnei Shayish Tahar and what is this Mayim Mayim, which we'll look at in a second. So what happened in the story? They got to this place of learning where Rabbi Akiva was basically telling them, you can't go any further. This is stonewalled. You are being stonewalled now. There's no further to go in our understanding. Remember what we're trying to understand. They weren't sitting there learning Zohar. What they were trying to understand was Tzadik V'Raloi. Why Klal Yisrael is having the tzaris that it's having. Why did Hashem do this? And what he was saying basically is that there is a limit to your imagination. There's a limit to how much you could understand. And if you go beyond that limit, you're going to be in trouble. So the Gemara says, Ben Azai, Ben Zoyma. The Gemara says, Ben Azai, hitzitz, means peaked. Benazai stretched himself beyond the Avnei Shayish Umes, and he died. That's pretty intense. Olava Kosavoimer Yokar Be'enei Hashem Hamavso L'Chasidav. Yokar Be'enei Hashem Hamavso L'Chasidav. I'd like to point out, you can just tune in if there's something I'm not being clear about, but Yakar, we say this pasuk every morning, right?
So the fact that he died was what was supposed to happen, and it was good.
Yakar. Yakar, how could it be Yakar b'nei Hashem amafsel l'chasidav? The whole pasuk is shver pasuk.
Tricky.
Yeah. So Yakar means very, very cherished and very, very valuable. And Yakar also means very, very hard, very difficult. Like the proper translation for yakar is expensive. Expensive. Meaning, you know, if I buy myself a diamond, it's very, very yakar in the sense that it's cherished, but it's also very, very difficult to come by and difficult to watch. So, yakar be'enei Hashem hamavsa l'chasidav tarte mashma. You have the Indian of Yakar and the Indian of Yakar. And when Rabbi Kiva died, it seems to me what Hashem was saying, this is not necessarily a bad thing, but what is it? But it was a very expensive thing, because Yakar bein Hashem amavsa l'chasidav. We lost Ben Azai. I feel, again, you know, I'm being a little bit hypocritical, because my imagination tells me that Rabbi Akiva came to a world which was something out of this world, totally spiritual. He was able to come to a place, Ben Azai, did I say Rabbi Akiva? Ben Azai came to a place. Remember that Ben Azai was the one, he was married to Rabbi Akiva's daughter, and he couldn't say married because Torah Sayyum Nasa, Lafshi Chashka Batayra. He wasn't for marriage, which means he wasn't for this world, really. The Gemara says in the end of Brachas, Haraya Ben Azai B'chaloim Yitzpil Chasidus. You're in a whole different place if you see Ben Azai. It's sort of otherworldly, like it says in Pirkei Avos that Ben Meya Shana, you know, it says Ben Shmernas B'chamesh L'mikra Shmernasrei L'chupa Meya, when you become 100, Avar Ubatel Min Ha'olam, which comes the Yiddish term Oiver Batel. But it's, I always understand, it's not a bad thing. It's, you're no longer part of this world. You're like living, you got a foot in Shemaim. And you're Avar Ubatel Min Ha'olam, so you can be holier. And, you know, once you're 100, Bezras Hashem, so you're in a whole different place. But anyway, so Ben Azai, he was only 30. But Ben Azai was, died. Ben Zayim.
Of a Davin of you. Is there anything similar to that?
To who?
We're not on topic. Nadav and Avihu also, they died, but there was their Kedoshim, Bikrovai, Kadesh. There seems to be something a little similar. I don't know if that's...
Yes. Okay. Yes. I believe the Arachaim HaKadosh on the Parsha of Nadav Avihu says exactly that. But you see, the thing is, like what we're going to get to talk about is that it's not where we're meant to go, you know? As a Rabbi Kiva caution. Yeah, tzaddikim, but that's not where we're meant to go. Ben Zoyma, here the Gemara says in Brachas, Haroya Ben Zoyma B'chaloyim, not this Gemara, in Brachas, Yitzpel Chachma means that you're going to come up to with some good Chachma. Ben Zoyma was the genius of the whole generation. Genius. He was the Gon, the Rugged Shover, whatever. You know, he was the Rugged Shover. So where Ben Azai went at this Limud, from a spiritual point of view, I believe an imaginative point of view, Ben Zoma was the genius that was trying to happen in his head. Like, what am I seeing here? Remember what they're looking at, the dichotomy between heaven and earth. And the Gemara says, Ben Zoma hitzitz v'nifka. He went nuts. Meaning he used his brain, perhaps overused his brain, and his brain no longer functioned. after this experience, his brain, what he tried to comprehend something, and he banged his head on the Avnei Shayish and lost his mind. The Gemara is going to say later on the next plot, which you don't have in front of you, that Ben Zoma was found wandering on the Har HaBayis, which was destroyed, of course, on the Har HaBayis, and one of the Tanoim asked him, what are you sitting there? He was sitting on Alamud. What are you sitting about? What are you thinking about? What are you contemplating about? And he said, I'm thinking about the space between the Shemayim and Va'aretz. That's what the Gemara says. I'm trying to figure out. Eino elokamali nima. It's only like this. It's kimat no separation between Shemayim Va'aretz. And the Tana who was talking to him said, Adayin ben Zoyma bachutz. He has not recuperated yet from his experience. But it's fascinating where his head was. Like he's trying to understand what's for us and what's above the glass wall. The glass ceiling, yeah? The Avnish, the glass ceiling is a good mushel because it looks like water, yeah? So he went crazy. Then the Gemara says, Acher, I hope everybody has it, it's the third line from the bottom, Acher kitzeitz binatiyos. Acher became an apokaris. Didn't go crazy. He didn't die. He became an apokaris. Kitzeitz binatiyos. The Rabbeinu Hananel, if you look on the bottom there, Rabbeinu Hananel says that the Kitzeitz binatiyos means that he was, it's using the same mushel of the pardes, since we're talking about a pardes, which is a garden, which is Gan Eden, so therefore it makes sense to say Kitzeitz binatiyos, that he pruned his garden. What does it really mean? What it really means is that when Elisha ben Avuya went through this exercise, this was not a very successful endeavor, I must say. But when Elisha ben Avuya, the Gadol, he would have been the Gadol Adar, by the way. That when Elisha ben Avuya moved through this exercise, Kitzeitz binatiyos, what the Svarim say is that he saw what was going on in Shemayim, all good. He saw what was going on in Aretz, all bad. And he could not make peace between those two. So he didn't die and he didn't go crazy. He just cut the two. Listen, what's going on upstairs has nothing to do with what's going on downstairs. What's going on in the Shamayim has nothing to do with what's going on in the Aretz. That's what Kitzeitz binatiyos was. He cut the rope. He cut, like an inverted tree. He cut the world from its roots. And according to my understanding of history, became one of the early Christians.
It doesn't say by him hits it. Is that
that's correct. He didn't peek. He went. He did it. He was on such a high madrega that he didn't. He was able to go there. He was able to see, but he could not connect it to the world that we live in. Hakol yafeh, but he couldn't connect it. So this is a bigger godless in a way, but he couldn't connect it, and he became an obligator. So, the dangers of going into this pardes. Rabbi Kiva yatsa b'shalom. What shalom is when you connect two things. Connect to people, connect to communities. Oyseh shalom b'mroimov, hu yaseh shalom aleinu. So Rabbi Kiva, as opposed to Elisha ben Avuya, was able to connect the world of Shemayim to the world of Aretz. And when he died, he said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. There's a lot to say about all of this. There's a lot to say, but we only have a couple minutes. But Rabbi Kiva was able to connect. And that's the story in the Gemara. Remember, Elisha ben Avuya started off with a limud of Shalei Lishma. That's what the Gemara says. It was all a Shalei Lishma. So if you're Shalei Lishma, you can't connect. Because it's got to be good for me. This doesn't make any sense that I'm uncomfortable. God is good.
Does Kisei Spitzino's Matthias tell us something and insight into Christianity?
The same term is used for early Christians.
Don't tell.
What does it mean for the Christians? What does it tell us about the?
It means that
theology?
What do they say is that God could walk the earth and be all about peace and goodness, and it's all down here. In other words, by dividing God into three, chas v'shalom, divisible by three, so they're able to make peace with the fact that what's going on in God, in God's world is one thing, but we have a God walking the face of the earth, and this wasn't just a Mashiach, and Mashiach was part of it. And in their vocabulary, the Holy Ghost is the Shekhinah. So they have three things. Okay, I don't want to give a class. I don't want to give a class in the comparative religion. Although it's my
Chazal also tell us, Rebbe, that Elisha ben Abuya saw a Metatron on the Kisei HaKavod.
Next page in the Gemara.
The next page.
All right, two Rishiyos. That's a very Christian kind of idea too.
Three.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you need to understand something. Let me just say this. That before Moshe Rabbeinu, and certainly before Rabbi Akiva, dualism and polytheism were the way to go. In other words, it was Avraham Avinu discovered that there's only one Hashem. And it was Rabbi Akiva who was able to express Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. I mean, express it in real life. So let's express it with his life. So the obvious Yetzer Hara, if you will, for dualism or polytheism is, you know, like the early Greeks, you know, the god of wind, the god of thunder, the god, you know, the Yetzer Hara for this is that you don't have to say God is like bad or something like that. God is God, and, you know, that's there and this is here. That's what Shtei Rishuyos means. Being Jewish is a little more challenging than that. It's the religion of Rabbi Akiva, who was Yatzah B'Shalom. Like, we're okay. Give me 5 minutes. No. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. I just want to know how this relates to Rabbi Akiva warning them not to say Maya Maya. What didn't they heed in his warning that caused this? Was it in fact that they didn't heed his warning?
They didn't understand the challenge. You can imagine anything. Like the Gemara says, you can imagine an elephant going through the eye of a needle. You can imagine anything, but when it comes to in real life, it doesn't necessarily work. So I believe what he was saying to them is, don't go with your imagination. There's an emes here. Doiver shkarim. You know, sheker is all good. You can imagine anything until you bang your head on the wall. Like, say, you can imagine you're rich until you're not rich. You know, you can imagine a lot of things. You can imagine food is good until you find out it's poison. Let me skip ahead to something because I really want to get this thought out, and we could talk more about it. I think this is very important and yesodistic information here. The generation after Rabbi Akiva was the generation of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and this is how we got to, you know, who's Yom Hilula, was just a few days ago on Lag BaOmer and led us into the Toiv, the 17 of Toiv, to the day of Boiker, which is Matan Torah. So it's all about Torah. What's interesting is that what he did was the opposite. I believe he was like, to put it in my words, a tikkun for Elisha ben Avuya. Because Elisha ben Avuya could not marry the two, the Shemayim and the Aretz, yes? And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who dealt and was taught the Seudas HaTorah in the deepest way, also cannot marry the two. So when he came out of the cave in Pekin, we should all be zeichet to visit there, what a holy place that is. When he came out of the cave in Pekin, Kol Makom Shenasa Neinov Miyad Nisrof, he could not deal with Olam Hazeh. This world is shtus. That world is good. And of course, the Baskel said, "Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, Ubenai, go back into the cave because you're not done. You have exited the course too early." And another year in the cave, he came out, and when he saw the man running in the street in Erev Shabbos with two hadassim, so what are we talking about? A Pashat Yid, a Zvesnishkin Kabbalah, a Pashat person running down the street in Erev Shabbos to the takeout store and getting besamim for Friday night, and for, you know, the Hasidim use besamim on Friday night also by Kiddush because of the skimmer. Two hadassim, echo keneged shamar v'echo keneged zachar. He looked at him and he said, you know, wow, am I missing it? Because all of the Kabbalah that I learned and I was Megala in the Sefer HaZoyar, if it's not going to translate L'maisa, then I'm becoming an acher of sorts. I'm becoming acher. By the way, the word acher means this is me and this is him. Acher, ani acher, hu acher. Two separate domains. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, after finally coming out of the cave, went through the course of Olah L'Shamayim and brought it down to earth in a way that we could all understand it. So that's the Gilui of Teres HaSoid. The Gilui of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. You see, let me just say one thing before we end, and I'd like to talk about this a little bit more because it's so important to the Nefesh HaChaim. I believe this was basically the derech of the Nefesh HaChaim. Was to, the Nefesh HaChaim, from everything we've learned, was a huge mekubel. Like, Zeloh Abaya. Nevertheless, you've got to go there, and this was what he's teaching in the whole Nefesh HaChaim, learn how everything works, and then come back down to earth, even though you don't necessarily understand everything, or how what we do in this world affects what we're doing in that world. See, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's chiddush was when he saw the man running down the street with two hadassim, echo keneged shomer, echo keneged zacher, is wow, this guy is on a lower and therefore a higher madrega than I am. He brought it all down to earth. You know, like, I don't know, my Rebbe always said that, you know, if somebody's a huge Talmud Chacham or even a huge Mekubal, but they're rude to another Jew, you miss the whole thing. You're not a Talmud Chacham, you're not a Mekubal. There's no such thing. If you can't bring it down to the earth with Midos Tovos, for instance, and with a Echo Keneged Shomer, Echo Keneged Zachar, with Shmir Shabbos Kipshutai. So that was Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in the second coming, forgive me, coming out of the cave. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was able to bring everything down to a place of earth. So I think what the Nefesh HaChaim, let me just say this, what the Nefesh HaChaim was after was, good, learn all these things, but don't stay there, don't get stuck there. You have to know that it can happen, but you see, let me just give you this example. Koidim Matan Torah, Yaakov Avinu married two sisters, and there were and Avram Avinu served milk and meat at the same meal. Because they understood in the higher workings of the Shemayim that it's possible to do that. That's okay to do. But as the Goyin speaks out, that Avera Lishma, as he calls it, is only good until Matan Torah. Once Matan Torah comes, down to earth, Rabbi Yisai. It doesn't work anymore. So the Goyin says, Avera Lishma doesn't work after Matan Torah. What you're supposed to do, you do, and what you're not supposed to do, you don't do. Now, does that mean that nothing is going on in Shemayim? Like you know, all the kids always ask us, here's a little bit of chinuch, I think. All the kids always ask us, does God really care if I say Kriya Shema at 9:12 instead of 9:11? I would ask the question further, does he really care if you say Kriya Shema at all? But the answer is, you know, everyone familiar, the programmers here with IFTT. Is that, how's it go?
If this, then that.
I-T-T-F, right? If this, then that. I-T-T-T. What's the Rosh Hashanah stand?
I-F-T-T-T.
Oh, better. So what does it mean? It means that, what does it mean in our case? That's a programming type of thing. Like whenever I walk into my house, my microwave should go on. You know, you can program these things. But what it means for us is that what we need to have is the idea and sometimes a glimpse and sometimes even a little insight as to what happens when I make Kiddush or what happens when I say Kriya Shema. We need the insight. And if I say Kriya Shema Bizmanoi down to the finest detail, we know stuff is happening in the Shemayim. Now, does that mean that we should get under the hood and try to manipulate what's happening in the Shemayim? No. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai came out of the cave and he said, we got to be down to earth and down to Torah. So what is Torah? Torah is the Malbush HaNelam, which is bringing this all down to earth. You know, I was Zocha once for a couple of years to have a Chavrusa and Koilel with Rav Yaakov Hillel Shlita, who became one of the Mekubalei Hador. We learned Masechet Shabbos together. But we were learning the Mishnah Brura that when you take three steps for Shemona Esrei, you don't really have to take six steps. You just have to go back in order to go forward. Yeah? Like it's six steps. And I remember learning this with Rav Yaakov Hillel, and he says, what happened to Chesed Gvura Tiferes Natzachot? You said Malchus. These six steps are Bedafka. Of course you have to go six steps, seven steps. So I'm not arguing with Mr. Burr, either was he. But what he's saying is that, you know, we could think it's like a little Irish guy, take three steps, take six steps, you know, go, jump up and down. All these things are affecting IFTT. All these things are affecting everything that's going on in Shomayim, even if we don't know about it. So on the one hand, you know, when we get to the Avnei Ashayish, we say, look, we don't know how what we're doing here is controlling. Nefesh HaChaim says, this is the whole Nefesh HaChaim, Yaakov Chevel Nachalosei. We puzzle rope over here, it does something up there. We don't know exactly what it's doing, necessarily. Sometimes we get a Gilui Soid, like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai gave us Gilui Soid into Halacha. We certainly cannot climb up there and try to be Mashana things. That's what Shabsai Tzvi did. Shabsai Tzvi tried to climb up on the top there and also started a new type of a Christianity, of Shtei Rishuyos. So we need to understand this clearly, what our place is, what Torah is, and what it's for. Okay, I want to end because I don't want to go over. Any questions that I can answer?
Thank you so much.
Is the marble a statement that there's an absolute limit to where of your understanding? Is that the way to look at it?
Yes. I think it's exactly the way to look at it, meaning you're looking at it as we're banging our head and we're going further than we're able to go. And, you know, I have a chakira. I'll leave you with this question. Rabbi Akiva Yatza B'Sholom. When we say Rabbi Akiva was Yatza B'Sholom, does that mean he got above the marble? Or does it mean he was okay stopping? In other words, does it mean he got above that marble and he was okay that there was a dichotomy? He didn't see it as Shtei Rishuyos. He just understood that there's a thread and a bridge there that we're not getting. So, you know, Yatza B'Sholom to me means that he was Makasher two worlds. Shalom.
And that's right, I have a question. We find the Lashon of My Mind by Moshe, Miriam and Aaron, when Miriam and Aaron spoke about Moshe, and then Hashem revealed himself on them all of a sudden, and they couldn't handle it. Is there any connection to this?
We find My Mind by Miriam, I'm sorry, missing. Where do we find?
By Miriam and Aaron, Rashi brings it down in the Chumash, that they yelled My Mind, like bring water, because they were Tamba Keri. The question is there a connection to this?
Good har, Gil, go for it. Tein lechacham v'yichachem oid. I just know that the mayim is, you know, something you can dive into, and can be very, very thin like air. It can also kill you. So you know, it's not aish. It's mayim, and if with your permission, even though it's a drop off topic, I'd love to delve into the Gemara a little bit more, because the Mefarshim help us with this. So why not learn more about what they saw and what they didn't see and what they were able to see? Okay, Baruch Hatzlacha to everybody. Have a good morning.